I want you to picture a wedding tent.
Okay.
Just a standard white 40 by 80 foot tent sitting on a perfectly manicured lawn.
Right, I've got it. The classic setup.
Yeah. And to you, the guest, sipping your champagne, that tent is just a single object.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Right. You rent the thing, you use the thing, you return the thing. But to the person renting it to you, that tent doesn't actually exist.
No, it doesn't. And that right there is the fundamental paradox of the event rental industry.
Exactly. And honestly, that is what hooked me on this deep dive. Today, we are looking at a platform called Apex Rental Pro. And on the surface, if you just glance at the screenshots and the documentation we pulled from their specs, it looks like standard booking software,
Sure.
a calendar, some invoices, a client list. But when you actually dig into the source material, which we have done extensively for you today, you realize you aren't looking at a calendar at all.
No, you're not.
You are looking at a constraint engine.
That is such a great way to put it. Because the rental business is, frankly, deceptively dangerous.
Yeah.
People think it's just moving chairs around, but it is actually this incredibly high-stakes logistics game.
Dangerous how, though? Like,
Yeah.
I dropped a heavy folding table on my foot. Dangerous.
No. Like, I'm getting sued for breach of contract. Dangerous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Imagine you run a car rental agency. You have 50 Ford Fiestas. If you rent one out, you have 49 left.
Simple math.
Right. It is a one-to-one relationship. But in events, that wedding tent isn't one thing. It is a massive pile of poles, fabric, stakes, and ratchets.
Yeah.
And those exact same poles might be needed for a completely different tent at a totally different venue on the very same day.
So you aren't managing objects, you're managing potential configurations of objects.
Precisely. And if you mess up that math,
Which is easy to do.
very easy to do, if you promise the poles to two different brides, you don't just lose a sale, you ruin the biggest day of someone's life. Yeah, that is the nightmare scenario. And that's exactly what Apex is designed to prevent. So in this deep dive, our mission is to unpack how the system acts as the central nervous system for a rental company. We're going to explore the inventory logic, which is surprisingly complex, then the way it handles time, which is totally different from other industries, and finally, the safeguards it puts on finance and paperwork.
It is essentially about how software forces a chaotic physical world to follow strict, unbending rules.
So let's start with that pile of parts problem. The documentation calls this the build kit architecture.
Yes, the build kits.
And honestly, reading through this was the first moment where I thought, okay, this business is way harder than it looks.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I just assumed if I ran a rental company, I would have a big box on the warehouse shelf labeled 40 by 80 tent.
And well, for a small pop-up canopy, maybe you do. But for professional heavy-duty structures, that tent is a ghost. In the Apex software, it is called a composite item.
Meaning it's made up of other things?
Exactly. It only exists in reality if you currently have the parts available to build it.
The system has to track the components completely separately, like
Right.
the end pieces, the midsections, the center poles.
Correct. And here is where the math gets really tricky. The software has to calculate your availability based entirely on the limiting component.
The bottleneck.
The bottleneck, yes. Let's do a quick mental puzzle to see if this clicks for you. Say you have six 40-foot ends and four 40-foot mids sitting in your warehouse.
Okay, let me track this. Six ends, four mids.
Right. Now, to build one 40 by 80 tent, the recipe calls for two ends and two mids. So, looking at your pile of parts, how many of those tents can you physically build?
Okay, let me do the math. I have six ends, divide by two. I could theoretically build three tents with those ends.
But look at your mids.
Ah, I only have four mids, so I can only build two tents.
Precisely. The mids are your bottleneck. So when a customer goes to your website and searches for that specific tent, Apex completely ignores the extra ends. It reports two available.
Because it dynamically assembles the kit in the database to see what is physically possible right then.
Exactly.
That's incredibly smart. But here's what I was wondering when I read that. What happens when I press book? Because now I've promised that tent to someone. Those parts aren't theoretical anymore.
Right, they are spoken for, and that is when the system performs an explosion.
An explosion. That sounds dramatic.
It's the actual technical term used in the documentation.
Really?
Yeah, it explodes the composite item into its component parts and violently deducts them from your raw inventory. So instantly, your stock of available mids drops by two.
Which means if someone else calls 5 minutes later wanting a smaller tent, maybe a 40 by 40 that also uses those same mids,
The system says no.
Wow.
It actively prevents phantom inventory.
Phantom inventory. That sounds like a horror movie title for warehouse managers.
It feels like one when it happens to you. Is that terrifying moment where your computer says you have a tent, but you walk out to the shelf and you're missing one crucial center pole because it got rented out yesterday as part of a different setup.
So this is basically just-in-time manufacturing, but applied to throwing a massive party.
It really is.
Right.
And think about the huge efficiency gain here. By not pre-bundling your gear, you can say yes to way more configurations. You can build a long, skinny tent, a square tent, or two small tents, all from the exact same pile of metal.
You're doing more with less.
Exactly.
Mm.
The software handling the assembly logic allows you to maximize the efficiency of every single pole you own. Without software like this, you would need a genius warehouse manager with a photographic memory to track it all.
Okay, so that handles the stuff itself, but the stuff has to exist in time.
Right.
And this is where the calendar logic in Apex gets really interesting because, you know, renting a car is usually a strict 24-hour block. You rent it Tuesday, you bring it back Wednesday.
Simple.
But a wedding is messy.
It is very messy. Think about it. If the wedding is on a Saturday, when are you setting up?
Probably Friday. Maybe Thursday if the venue allows it.
Right. And you were taking it down on Sunday. Or maybe Monday morning. So the event is technically only one day on the calendar, Saturday. But the inventory is tied up for 4 days.
So if you just booked it for Saturday in a normal standard calendar app, you would accidentally double book those exact same chairs for a Friday night cocktail party.
Which would be an absolute disaster. You cannot rent out chairs that are currently sitting in the back of a box truck on the highway.
Right.
So Apex has this feature called weekend blocking, or the weekend job toggle. It fundamentally changes the math of time.
How so?
If you toggle that switch, a single day event automatically creates a rigid reservation block for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
It forces a buffer.
It has to. In this industry, you can't rely on a tight turnover. You have to account for the truck travel, the setup labor, the drying time if it rains on the canvas. The software is enforcing a buffer that human optimism often forgets.
Human optimism often forgets. I feel a little attacked by that.
We all do it.
Now, speaking of calendars, I want to talk about the integration with Google Calendar, because usually when software says we sync with Google, it just means we show your appointment so you don't miss the dentist.
Right. A passive one-way viewing window. It just pushes a display layer.
But Apex seems a lot more aggressive based on the sources. The documentation describes a two-way sync where it actually reads your Google Calendar to manage the physical inventory.
Yes. This is the item mappings feature. It is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, it is also high risk. It feels like absolute magic when it works, but you have to be very careful.
Explain how it works. Walk me through the workflow.
Okay, let's say you're a small business owner. You are out to lunch. You get a call from a regular client, and you don't have the Apex mobile app open. You just open your personal Google Calendar on your phone and type Smith Party -8-foot banquet.
Just plain text. No drop-down menus. No special item codes.
Just text. Apex constantly pulls your calendar in the background. It uses something called word boundary matching.
Okay.
Which is really just a fancy way of saying it parses the string of text to find the exact phrase 8-foot banquet.
And it knows that phrase equals item ID 405 in the warehouse.
Exactly. It interprets your text, finds the inventory match in its database, and instantly deducts that table from the global availability.
That is wild. It essentially turns your standard Google Calendar into a command line interface for your warehouse.
It does. But notice I mentioned word boundary matching. That is a specific technical constraint. It means it is looking for whole words.
Yeah.
It is not just doing a fuzzy search.
So knowing how I type on my phone with autocorrect and everything, this sounds potentially dangerous.
Oh, it definitely is. The documentation is full of warnings about this. It is case insensitive, which helps a bit. But if you type big table instead of banquet table and you haven't explicitly mapped big table to an item ID, the system will not catch it.
It just sees text.
Right. It relies heavily on you learning the specific language of your own inventory.
And I also saw a big warning note about avoiding loops.
That is critical. Think about it. If Apex pushes an event to Google to show you are busy, and then it reads Google back to check for new bookings,
it might read its own entry.
Yes, and it would double book the same event against your inventory.
The infinite tent loop.
Exactly. Yeah. So it has strict logic built in to specifically ignore any events that originated from the Apex API itself.
It is impressive that it does all this in real time. I notice the documentation stresses that availability isn't cached.
It can't be cached. In a system where a single text entry on a Google Calendar can change your stock level globally, every time you refresh the page, the server has to recalculate that pile of parts from scratch.
Wow.
It scans every booking, every Google event, checks the kit logic, and gives you a fresh number. It is computationally very heavy, but in logistics, cached data is dangerous data. You need the absolute truth right now.
Okay, let's move down the chain. We have got the parts sorted. We have got the date locked in. Now we need to get paid.
The most important part.
Exactly. And there is a distinction in the workflow that I think is really important for anyone listening to grasp. The difference between the pricing catalog and the inventory.
Yes. This trips people up constantly. Inventory is for tracking physical things. The pricing catalog is for tracking money. And they do not always move in lockstep.
Give me an example of why they wouldn't match up.
Well, you might have a catalog item called Gold Wedding Package. It costs $5,000. But Gold Wedding Package isn't a physical thing sitting on a shelf. You can't go touch it.
Right.
It maps back to 200 chairs, 20 tables, and a tent in the inventory system.
So the catalog is really just a shorthand for the sales team to bundle things quickly.
Exactly. But here is the critical technical detail that really caught my eye in the specs. It's called the freeze.
The freeze. Yeah, that sounded like a sci-fi term. Initiate the freeze.
It sounds dramatic, but it is crucial for data integrity. When you turn a quote into a formally booked event, Apex takes a snapshot of all the pricing data at that exact second and saves it as a pricing underscore JSON file attached directly to that specific event.
Why go through the trouble of creating a completely separate standalone file for every event? Why not just link back to the main catalog price? Like, you know, item 85 costs $10.
Because of time travel, or rather the passage of time.
Okay.
If I quote you $2 for a chair today for a wedding happening next year, and then next month I decide to raise my global prices to $250 because of inflation.
I cannot have my contract update automatically.
Exactly. You would be breaking the legal agreement you signed for $2.
Right.
So the system freezes the deal in time. Even if you change your global tax rate settings later, or you update every single price in your catalog, that booked event ignores all of it. It strictly respects the frozen JSON file.
It is like digital amber. It preserves the DNA of the deal exactly as it was when the client signed.
Which is absolutely vital for auditing and accounting. You cannot have your historical financial data shifting under your feet every time you update your price list for the new season.
That makes total sense. I also noticed a specific callout in the source material regarding price overrides versus discounts. It seems like a small UI detail, but the math under the hood is totally different.
It is, and if you get it wrong, it literally costs you money. A discount is usually a percentage off the subtotal. But a price override is you, the user, telling the system, I don't care what the math says, charge this guy $1,000 flat.
And the tax implication of that?
That is the kicker. If you do an override, the system automatically applies tax on top of that flat number. It assumes the override you typed in is the pre-tax subtotal.
Oh, I see. So if I tell a client on the phone, he'll do it for a grand all in, and I just type $1,000 into the override box.
The system will bill them $1,000 plus tax. So the client gets a final invoice for maybe $1,080, and then you look like a liar. Or you have to eat that $80 yourself to make the client happy and fix the relationship.
Details really matter.
In accounting, details are everything.
Let's switch gears to the visual side of things. We have been very logical so far, dealing with lists and numbers and JSON files, but events are inherently visual. You have to fit this stuff into a physical room.
True.
And the layout designer in Apex seems to be much more than just a simple drawing tool.
It is. It is a constraint tool all over again. It essentially has physics baked into it.
The example from the documentation that really illustrated this for me was the difference between frame tense and pole tense.
Yes. This is a classic rookie mistake in the event industry. A pole tent is held up by massive center poles. They come right down to the ground, right in the middle of the room. They are structural. You absolutely cannot move them.
Which is a massive problem if that is exactly where the client planned to put the dance floor.
It's a huge problem. So the layout designer actively enforces this reality. If you select a pole tent from your inventory, the system forces those physical obstacles onto the digital drawing canvas. You literally cannot drag a table or a dance floor over the pole icon. It simply won't let you drop it there.
So it prevents an overeager salesperson from selling a layout that is physically impossible for the crew to build on the day.
Exactly. It forces the sales team to acknowledge the reality of the gear. Frame tents give you wide open space. Pole tents have obstacles. The software knows the difference if the new sales guy doesn't.
And once you have that perfect layout, you generate the contract. And this brings us to smart contracts. I loved this part because I hate paperwork.
Everyone hates paperwork. But in rentals, paperwork saves your business. The really cool thing Apex does here is template matching.
How does that actually work in practice?
The system automatically looks at the physical inventory items listed on the quote to decide which specific legal language to include. It uses conditional logic.
So if I rent, say, a bouncy castle for a kid's party,
the system sees category inflatables on the item list. It automatically pulls your liability waiver template and seamlessly appends it to the final contract. But if you were just renting a stack of tablecloths, it leaves the waiver out entirely.
So I don't have to manually remember, oh, right, the bounce house needs the waiver, but the folding chairs don't.
Correct. It removes human error from your legal compliance. And then when the client signs it digitally, it logs their IP address and the exact timestamp. So you have a verified digital fingerprint of the agreement.
Okay, so we have covered inventory logic, money, and laws. But there are actual human beings driving these trucks and setting up these tents.
Right.
And let's be honest, business owners can be notoriously paranoid about their staff knowing too much about the financials.
With good reason sometimes.
Yeah.
In a cash-heavy business or just a highly competitive local market, you don't necessarily want your delivery drivers knowing exactly how much profit you made on that huge Saturday wedding.
I saw a feature called Strip Titles. That sounds pretty aggressive.
It's a very subtle but powerful UI choice. When an admin or the owner looks at the master calendar, they see Smith Wedding -$15,000. They see the total value.
Right.
But when a driver logs in with their restricted credentials just to see where they need to drive the truck, the system completely strips the string. They just see Smith Wedding.
It actively hides the revenue data.
It keeps the focus on the physical work, not the money. It is basic operational security. It prevents the crew from standing around the warehouse saying, can you believe the boss is making 10 grand on this party and only paying us 20 bucks an hour?
Right. It manages team morale just as much as it manages the database. And speaking of tracking the crew, there is a GPS component tied to the time clock feature, right?
There is. When a crew member clocks in or out on their mobile phone, the browser specifically requests their geolocation.
So you can verify they were actually standing at the venue when they said they finished the teardown?
Exactly. It silently records the latitude and longitude.
Yeah.
Because the other massive nightmare scenario for an owner is a crew saying they picked up the gear, but they actually left it sitting in a public park for 2 days because they wanted to go home early on a Sunday.
That perfectly brings up the pickup alerts.
The don't leave the tent behind alarm.
Yes.
If an event ended more than 48 hours ago and the items haven't been marked as returned in the system, the dashboard just starts yelling at you.
Yes, if you leave 50 expensive chairs on a lawn, they either get stolen or the sprinklers turn on at night and ruin the wood finish.
Or the client just gets incredibly angry because they can't mow their grass. It forces you to close the loop. You cannot just forget about a job once the check clears.
There was one last human element feature I found really interesting, the internal review.
Ah, yes. Creating a permanent dossier on your customers.
It sounds a little sinister when you phrase it like that, but I get why it exists.
It is pure institutional memory. After the job is fully done, when you are closing it out of the system, you get to rate the client 1 to 5 stars.
Yeah.
Did they return all the linens completely covered in red wine?
Yeah.
Were they verbally abusive to the delivery driver?
Yeah.
Did they pay the final invoice on time?
And this rating is internal only.
The customer never, ever sees it. But the next time they call your company for a quote a year later, a big warning pops up for the sales team. High-risk client.
Oh, wow.
So maybe you quietly charge them a much higher damage deposit, or maybe you are just suddenly fully booked that specific weekend.
So sorry. We are totally out of tents for that date.
Exactly. It gives the business the data it needs to protect itself from serial bad actors.
So we have gone all the way from the atomic level of counting tent poles to the legal layer of smart contracts and the psychological layer of employee management. It is an incredible amount of logic just to facilitate a party.
It is, but that is the real takeaway here.
One final question before we wrap this up. All this incredibly valuable data, the client history, the frozen pricing JSONs, the signed legal contracts, it is all sitting in the cloud. And we always hear these horror stories about SaaS platforms holding a company's data hostage if they try to leave. What happens if a business wants to migrate away from Apex?
This is where their documentation actually surprised me the most.
Yeah.
They have a data export feature that is surprisingly complete and transparent.
So not just a basic CSV file of client email addresses.
No, not at all. It generates a massive ZIP file containing the raw JSON data of absolutely everything. Every user, every historical event, every single item in the catalog. But crucially, it also includes all the generated PDFs.
Yeah.
Every single invoice, every digitally signed contract you ever created on the platform is in there.
So you physically own your business history.
You are not held hostage. And that is incredibly rare in the SaaS world. Usually, you can get the raw text data out, but good luck regenerating a legally binding PDF layout that was signed 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Text gives you the actual original files.
So, taking a step back and looking at the big picture of everything we've covered here, Apex Rundle Pro isn't really a calendar app at all, is it?
No, it is not. It is a constraint engine that forces the physical world to behave logically. It takes an incredibly chaotic business, moving thousands of individual parts across a busy city, dealing with weather, traffic, and human error, and turns it into a strict, solvable math problem.
And by doing that, it gives you that peace of mind.
It does. But it also gives you something much more powerful, which is a concept I'd call inventory liquidity.
Okay, inventory liquidity. Give me a final thought on that before we go.
Well, think about cash liquidity in finance. It's how easily you can move money around to take advantage of opportunities. Inventory liquidity is how flexible your physical assets are.
Right.
If you kept those tents as pre-bundled kits, literally taped together in bags on a shelf, your business is rigid. You can only rent that specific tent to that specific customer.
You're stuck.
But by using software to keep your inventory as a fluid sea of parts, you achieve massive liquidity. And what's provocative to me is how this logic applies beyond party rentals. Think about any physical asset you own.
Mm.
If you can use software to digitally unbundle it into its core components, you instantly maximize its value. You hold less stock, but you can sell a near infinite number of products. It completely changes how you view physical ownership.
Unbundling physical reality into a math problem. That is a fascinating way to look at it. Well, there you have it. The hidden logic of event rentals. Next time you're out at a wedding, take a close look at the tent above you. It is not just a tent. It is a logistical miracle kept completely upright by math.
And, well, hopefully it has all its center poles.
Hopefully. Thanks for listening to this deep dive into Apex Rental Pro. Catch you on the next one.